Actually, I started as an IC in PayPal as a program manager. And I've been in PayPal for close to 17 years now. I know many people say that women don't support other women, right? But that's not true. That's not true, at least in my case.
Yeah. Can you talk about any role or thoughts you might have about women leaders? How does that impact other women?
A lot of my professional achievement is because I had mentors, women mentors primarily. It's very important if you are young or a mid-career, having that support network. For you to keep on having that career, your life partner plays a very important role. Be mindful in choosing whoever is that life partner is. You need to be very mindful in that and be very upfront about what your career aspirations are.
Hello all, welcome back to Pathlock Lounge. In today's episode, we are joined with Deepa Vijayaraghavan, Director PMO at PayPal. Deepa is renowned for her initiatives to promote diversity and inclusion, especially empowering women in tech. Let's dive into her insights on what corporations can do to foster empowerment for women in tech. Thanks for joining us, Deepa, and welcome to our podcast. Why don't we start with your journey of building your career in tech? What prompted it and any background around that?
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invite, Piyush. I think it's so nice to be here. If I want to talk about my professional journey, so the way I started, I think I started as an on the engineering background. I started as an engineer for the banking industry. So that's how I started my career in technology. So before moving into it, I started as a faculty, and that's how I inspired to get into a technology. That was my first base for me getting into a technology. So I've been there, part of a banking domain for a long time. And somewhat like part of that process, I had an opportunity to drive a large transformation program in the banking industry. So which kind of triggered me to look at things not just from a technology, but also interacting with the business stakeholders and other things. And that's when PayPal was forming their company on India. So where I joined as a consultant, and I kind of shifted from a hardcore engineering into a program management. So that's how I made a little bit shift, but still part of technology and handling technology program management and portfolio management. And I started as an, actually I started as an IC in PayPal as a program manager. And I think, I can just say that there is no, I know it's been a little, I've been in PayPal for close to 17 years now. So it's been a long journey. So I can say that whoever I am today, it's because of PayPal, right? Not just as my professional, building my career into program management. I made my way up. I'm part of the leadership team now. So it's been a very fulfilling journey, I can say, since I had an opportunity not just to manage the technology project, but I also had an opportunity to work for the site in terms of employee engagement or in terms of supporting women groups. So I had multiple things which actually shaped my career and who I am today.
That's very good to hear. One of the things which I believe in is when people work for a long period of time or even smaller time, it's not just about the job. It gives them a sense of identity, ability to express themselves. So can you just talk about what first job or your job in PayPal meant for you in terms of who you are?
So I think to answer that, probably I can just take a little bit about my background, right? Myself, because I'm not coming from a very big IIT or something like that, right? It's I can say that I lost my mother at a very young age, and I was like completely, my father was taking care of us. One thing I actually felt, one of the words my mother told me is, no matter what, right, you should always focus on your education. I couldn't actually get the full intent or the meaning of those words because she was like finally in the hospital, kind of she knows that she's not going to be there, and I couldn't realize because I was so young, right? And there's a last conversation I had. I still remember it because that is the only thing I remember, the interaction I had with my mother. So she always said, keep your education, right? She just said that's going to be the, I couldn't realize that, but later I realized some point in time, I realized that how important for me to build my own identity, right? Because it's like you are, I am the third daughter in my family. And my brother and sister are all like much elder than me. So I kind of shuffling and with no too much attention for me, right? Like it's like someone has to take care of me. So it will be like I'll be in my friend's place, I'll be in somebody's place. So it's like one thing I realized in that journey is, even though like at my age, at that age, I think I know many people have a lot of other aspiration, but my only aspiration is to get good education and get into a good job. I never know what is that good job will look like, but I always felt you being an independent is going to be how I will shape myself as an individual. For me to do that, I always felt education is important. So that's how I kind of built, I would say that maybe a self-built person, I can say. But that's, it's not just about you get a job, you get a money and et cetera, but it's more about who I am, right? What is the legacy I want to leave with when I'm not here, right? So that's how I built my, that's a little bit background about how important for me is to get that.
Thanks for providing that background. And I'm very sorry to hear about your mother at such an age. One of the questions I have had is, I have experienced this personally for myself, is when I got my first job, I didn't know what I'll end up doing, what I'll enjoy. So can you talk about your experience at PayPal on how things evolved? You joined as an IC and what led you to the job you have now? How do you think about the job you had before in banking industry? Did it really represent who you were or how you have changed? Can you talk about that journey on how you've evolved with your job?
So I think if you look back, right, like maybe 20 years back, it's a very different dynamic, especially if you are in a banking industry. It's like many of the men will work after 6, right? And it becomes way harder. I had my first daughter also and very young kid. And I don't have too much support system, right? It's like myself and my husband. We have to take care of our career as well as our family.
Yep.
So that's when I was like thinking about it. And somebody saw some spark in me and he said, hey, why can't you move into a program management role, right? I never thought I will get into a PMO because I thought, okay, I'm going to be in the hardcore engineering and I'll move in that engineering role and become a hardcore technologist. But I thought, okay, why can't I make a try, right? Now I give a different advice, but that time I felt maybe let me explore that, right? And kind of I explored myself. And one thing I realized is during that process, I equipped myself in terms of, okay, what is PMO, right? How can you make a difference if you are a program manager? So I spent a lot of time myself to learn about it and then explored it. And then I kind of shifted my role. And from there, when I moved to PayPal, I moved as an IC program manager. And in PayPal, I think one of the great thing is, especially when the India Center is setting up, we had a lot of opportunities to do things, right? Like a kind of not just doing my day job as a portfolio program manager, but I also had an opportunity to drive many things for PayPal in terms of employee resource groups or it's in terms of building up the women resource groups. So it's a lot. So that actually helped me to get a lot of exposure and learn and also kind of know about myself, right? What is my passion and where should I put my heart on? So I think it's, I had a chance to do, see for me as an individual, beyond 2 years, I always want to do something, right? Like otherwise I'll become very uncomfortable, I can say. If I'm doing the same thing for beyond 2 years or 3 years, I myself feel, okay, I get bored. Yeah. Or you become super comfortable. You can just do the job within 1 hour, 2 hour, and how do you keep yourself engaged? So in that way, I think I would say that we all have been blessed to work like a company where you can just go and say, I'm willing to solve this problem, right? It's no matter that I'm part of the team, I'm not part of the team. I can just raise my hand and I can say, this is something I'm passionate, I want to solve it. So that's the main learning I have learned, right? It's not just about upskilling yourself, learning yourself, building that network, but it's also important that you just don't see the problems, right? You should be part of the solutioning so that you can make a difference. Yeah. So that's how, like I built, I kind of managed multiple domains in PayPal. Now I moved into a CTO office where I'm managing the operation side of it. But the kind of fulfilling for me that I had an exposure of different domains running things for people.
So this brings another topic which you briefly touched upon. As people build families, they have kids, life becomes challenging. How to balance work versus your personal life. So what advice will you have for women who are going through that life change where they either have young kids or they're planning to have kids? How do they balance work? Do they explore more in the career or take a role which might work in a new setup? Or how should they think about it? Do you have any advice for that?
I know, I think work-life balance is the most commonly asked question, right? It's applicable for both men and women, to be honest. And especially for women, since we have many different changes and we are in a different part of our life stage also, right? And work-life balance varies for each person. Like, especially if you take in my example, like, we don't have too much support system at home, right? We created that support system at home where both of us, like both myself and my husband, is also very passionate in his career. I am also very passionate in my career. And we both were kind of balancing it, right? The way I say balance, literally, like, there were days where sometimes his meeting might be very important. He has to go and I have to take care of my kid if she's sick or something, right? That's so we have our full-time babysitter, but still you have to be show up, right? We are never missed, not even a single PTM, right? We are never missed. So we, as much as possible, we try to go and we try to balance it. But there were times where one of us have to slow down, right? Like, it's not like always 50-50, right? We can't say, oh, I'm equal and we are all equal. There are times where my husband has actually slowed down, or there were times where I have to slow down for him. So we have done that because we know and we appreciate like what both of us are doing and how important. So the only advice I give to the people who are trying to come back, or the young people who are trying to take a break or trying to come back or whatever it is, it's very important that you talk about it, right? Like, what does work-life balance means to you, right? At home, even at your home, you have to tell them. I mean, unless you open up and tell them and ask for help, nobody will be able to read your mind, even at your work. Right. If you come back and then you really want to slow down, you can tell, right? Hey, I want to maybe want to work in different, or you don't want to slow down. You say, I have figured out everything. I really want to go for it. So it's very important that having that open dialogue and then understanding what is work-life balance for you. I think those are the two things. And the last thing which I would say is, please don't ever give up, right? Yep. Like, giving up is easier. Anybody can give up, right? Like, giving up is it doesn't need any brain. You can just go resign your job. You can just get out of the relationship. Anything, you can do it. But the only thing is, don't ever give up. Sure. Try your best, yeah. Right? Like, after you tried everything, if things doesn't work out, it's fine. So that's why I said work-life balance is really very different for everybody, for men and women. The work-life balance, very different concept. So my recommendation is to just see how you can balance. Sometimes it will be low. Sometimes it will be high.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I have this personal experience as well, because I have a couple of kids. To dwell in it, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But don't give up on opportunities you want to pursue in career and still balance it out. Times will be harder, but it'll get better over time. One of the things which I'm curious about, as we try to build an environment in our company and at Pathlock, to build an environment which encourages people to balance what is important in their life. So do you have any thoughts on what companies can do? One of the things you mentioned, which was which I absolutely agree in, and it's very insightful, that you talk about it at home, but at work as well, that if you have a challenge or your kid is sick or you're not doing well, talk about it without being apologetic, right? And say, this, I have to do this. This doesn't mean that you're not committed towards work. So in your experience, especially given the pressure of society, what might be the perception of how people think about, oh, I have to take some time off to take care of my kid, or I cannot take this call at 7 p.m. And we as an organization, we are in 7 countries, so people work in different time zones, right? What would be your advice on what your experiences were of how women should think about how to talk about this at work as well, not just at home?
I think it's a It's a very interesting, and I know multiple answers can be given. I know we all say, okay, I'm going to set this boundary. I'm going to put this meeting calendar and say, okay, this time is blocked for my my personal life. We try to do it. Even I tried doing it and 90% I failed on it, right? Like, but what I try to do is, how do I balance for myself? From a company standpoint, I think the most important question is how the organization can give a space where employees can talk about it openly. That's an important thing. They feel like it's a safe place for me to open up. So that's what is the most important thing. And then the other thing which organization can always think about it is, that's, it's okay if you are going to slow down, or it's okay if you are not going to be available. And what are the other ways for you to catch up, right? So they can think about it. And especially in the organization setup, they see it, right? It's not that whatever you're written in the policy or what's there, or whether I've signed up in my appointment letter, nothing like that, right? It's the culture, right? Like, is the, how, I mean, for example, if I'm a leader, and I remember this because personally, when I had my first daughter and my second daughter, there's a huge difference how I felt about coming back to work and then how I was trying to setting boundary for myself, right? The tone was set because my leader was very helpful for me. The leader is very clear that, because I took an additional responsibility knowing that I'm going to going on a maternity leave in another 6 months. And my manager believed in me. He said, it's fine. You're going to anyway going to come back. It's okay. So you set up the tone before you go on the maternity leave and come back. Right. So that was actually amazing. So it's very important as leaders, as managers, to set the tone right. Yep. Right. Like if the employees will only will see the actions, right? It's the culture. That's what we call it as a culture. Okay, how a person is treated or how the person is growing in the organization, if they are doing something wrong or if they're doing something right, right? What is that right and wrong is defined by the company's culture. So it's very important that as an organization, especially working in a multiple different location, understanding that culture, what for someone taking a morning call should be okay. For someone taking a night call should be okay. So that's why most important thing, especially coming from a program management background, most of our life is in the calls, right? We try to work with many different people. So one thing I always try to do with my stakeholders is I will be upfront about what is my availabilities are, what can I do, what I cannot do. And I just ensure that they are also open about it. If we are working in a very critical project or very critical thing, we like to ensure there is some level of agreement between the group, like who will do what and when the other person is not available and they don't feel guilty about it.
Yep.
So that's why I think setting the tone as a leader and as a colleague, how are you kind of, even the unspoken words matters a lot. So there are multiple ways, but these are the few things which I feel like you can do it visibly.
Yeah, that's a great input. I think one of the insights which coming out of this conversation is, in terms of supporting women in the organization, it's not just the HR policy, but how managers, I have to think about myself as a leader, how we support people and their requirements of how they operate best and what works for them. It cannot be written in HR policy that this is what happens. Managers have to have some empathy and be supportive in fulfilling the requirements their employees might have. Okay, that's a great input. One of the questions which I had, I know you have built this organization about Shevolve, and can you talk about the journey, why you thought it was important and what drove you to build something like that?
So I think you are also asking a lot of questions about how the organization can support women, right? And one thing I was, I've been in the industry for close to 23 years now, right? What I've seen, including my own friends, right? What I've seen is there is a point, like especially when you are in a mid-career where you have a lot of life events happening, and that's when, like, when you try to come back and then you are pursuing your career. So there are folks who kind of absolutely, they know, they figured it out and they go top. But there is, even today, right, even if you look at India, the tech industry participation, there is only 30% of the women employees and only 8% in the leadership role. So a lot of drop happens in the mid-career. I know we hire a lot of women, even that pipeline is shrinking, unfortunately. Hopefully it gets improved. But the moment they reach that spot, right, where it's a very hot spot and many companies are trying to do many different things. But the most important part, which I've realized talking to many women, including my own friends, colleagues, and outside of the company, inside of the company, main thing is when they get into that mid-career, there is some comfort zone, right? You feel like you have figured it out, you have reached this. Now, if you really have to go beyond this, it's not easy, right? Like, you can't apply the same thing, whatever you applied so far. If you really want to go into a senior management, there are different things. You have to take risk and you have to upskill yourself. You need to be relevant in the industry. And some people feel, okay, that's not right. Okay, I'm comfortable. I'm in a good position. I'm settled. I don't want to do anything further, right? So you get into that zone. And what happens is whenever the company has to take certain decisions, the first spot is the women's spot, right? They always try to, they get hit a lot, most of the cases. And they feel, okay, why is it happening to me? I've seen many people come and ask me, hey, why is it I got impacted, right? I've done so much. I've done this. I've done that. Why is it I got so much? Then I was thinking about it, deeply about it, right? So I realized that I have to do something about it. What is it I can do? From my own, like, I can't transform the entire thing, but what is a small thing which I can do? That's when I formed SheWall, which is a dedicated mentoring platform for women. I kind of joined hands with one of my friend. She's also an ex-colleague. We both trust each other. We both know there is a problem. Okay, we have been talking about it. Let's do something about it. And COVID has actually helped us to start this as an online platform where we do a personalized mentoring for women. The reason I talk about mentoring is always if this population knows that I am stuck here, I'm struggling here, or I have a lot of passion, I don't know what to do. So if this part of people know that I can go to someone who had a similar journey or kind of can relate to what I'm going through, and getting that right time, right place, the right help will make a huge difference. So I realized that, okay, this is, forget about the sponsorship, right? Where even to raise hands, hey, I need a sponsor, you need somebody to raise hands. So I thought, okay, this is the area where mid-career is one of the population where we need to focus on. That's when I started SheWall, where it's a dedicated mentoring platform for women.
That seems like a great initiative. Can you talk about what you've learned by the process of mentoring people, or by building the network of people who can mentor other women in work? What are the roadblocks people feel, or what are the learnings you have learned in the last few years of mentoring people or building the mentoring network for them?
There are two set of people, I would say, right? There are people who come to us and talk to us saying that, hey, I absolutely know that this role, right, this career or whatever role I'm currently doing is getting evolved, or this role may not even exist. They are very clear on their goals. So we try to help them in terms of how can you transition into a career transition, because that is the stage in the mid-career where you really want to take some decision where you want to transition your career or you want to grow in your current skill set, right? So that set of people have a very clear goals. We help them to find out people who have done those transition, and then we help them. That's a roadblock. We generally, people will come, hey, I know that, I feel that insecurity in myself. I know this role may not exist. That's one of the biggest challenge we see with them, and then we help them. The other challenge is they don't know what to do. Yeah, I've come so far. I'm very comfortable in my current. But internally, they know that they have to do something. But there is always that self-doubt, right?
Yeah.
Exist. They even know what to do, but just that they need to talk to someone. And kind of hash it out, right? The challenge, I would say, for the women community is even we don't talk to our family. We don't talk about our professional challenges to our family or to our friends. The biggest reason is you don't talk to your family because the first solution the family gives is leave your job. Hey, why do you have to suffer like this, right? You just leave your job. That's the first option. And when you're talking to your friends, you're a little bit hesitant because, oh, this friend will judge me. You don't want to really, you're not 100% transparent. I know many companies run mentorship programs. Even there, they will be 80% opening, right? They will not be 100% because they know for somewhere this person is in my organization, they will try to judge me. But what we have observed in this 2 years is when they are talking to someone outside their network, they are 100% open and transparent. So they get a right set of help. So some of the roadblocks is, how can I be relevant? How do I upskill myself? And how can I kind of rebuild my confidence, right? Those are the three main areas where we kind of spend. That's what we have seen in the past 2 years, where just making that small help, even a 2 sessions, even a 3 sessions, or just talking to somebody. I actually played a very, one example I can quote, without quoting the name, right? This person actually came as the first cohort of our Shival program, and she was super, she's well educated, right? And she felt, I'm equally educated and I'm just doing this mean job. She's doing some job, right? She felt that's very mean job because I'm not earning as equal to my husband. And my husband also feels it's not a very big job you're doing, right? So she felt so low in her confidence. But fast forward now, she's leading a very big organization right now on her own area. That small 4 weeks of discussion with a mentor has transformed her of how she can actually evolve her career. It's not nothing to do with her personal or professional, right? It's about herself. You have all these qualities. It just takes some more additional effort for you to figure out how can you build your career. So that's the difference you can make in a mentor.
And do you think the mentors have to be from the same space, or they don't need to be in the same industry, right?
Yeah.
Can people go out and get mentors in other walks of life?
Yes, of course, yes. Right. You can have, it depends upon your need, right? If you have a functional, like technically, for example, you want to become a product manager, right? Then yeah. You definitely need a mentor in the product management, of course. But in this case, this person really wants somebody to talk to. I mean, many times for women, I mean, according to me, whatever my observation of women have everything, they just need a 20% push from some external force saying that, hey, you can do this. I have done this. You can do it, right? Just building that self-confidence.
Yes. That makes sense. So when we think about young women who are entering the workforce or people who are in mid-career, what would be the advice you can give? They should consider mentorship. They should build a friend network. Or what advice will you have for people who are entering the workforce right now, and the women who are in mid-career, probably they've worked for 10 years or 15 years and... what can they do now?
For the young people, I think they are in the right spot. So I feel like for wherever, I think I really love to talk to students. So mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time talking to students, right? That's something I do it as much as I can. The reason being, that's the right age for us to catch. And wherever I go, I just tell them only one message, right? One of the biggest message is dream big.
Dreaming.
Right? Like mm-hmm. dream big in the sense, this is something I also learned. I know earlier I don't have any mentors, but later I have seen how much, even within my company, how much mentor has played a role in my career. The dream big in the sense of not with, okay, today I'm in this, I have only this resources. How you don't limit your dream. Dream big is something you should be scared of. Hey, is this something I can really do? Right? Like, oh, this is too much. I don't think I am up for it, right? So the dream big is a real dream big, right? So that's what I always tell the young people. First foremost thing is dream big. And the second thing is take risk. As much as you can, please take risk at that young age. Don't get too comfort. Because the moment you get a new job, you're all excited, whatever it is, right? You see some small success and you feel you've figured everything out. No, right? So it's very, very important for them to build that grit and then take risk. So that's something they should be doing it on a continuous basis. And third thing is build a network, mentoring. So I always suggest them that build peer network or formal mentor, informal mentor. You should have that, especially for women, that's super important.
Yeah.
You should have that network.
Network. Yeah.
And the last thing is, any problem comes, don't quit. I always say, please, because this is something I'm repeating. The reason is, anytime any problem comes for us, the first thing we try is quit. So those are the 4 things I will say for the young people. Mm-hmm. For the mid-career women, when they are coming back, that's why I said the networking plays a very important role. Even if you're in break, right, you can do something. You can offer your knowledge. You can just do a 30 minutes thing, whatever it is, if you're in a break. But if you're mid-career and you're trying to build and you're aspiring for a senior role, work for it. it's not that it's going to come on your plate, right? You have to put in some effort. And especially when you're trying to, from mid to senior level, that's why this mentorship, your network, your peer networking, everything plays a very important role. So for mid-career women, don't become, I know it will be a very comfort space. You have figured a lot of things. You have built this career for yourself. But from here, because the mid-career women inspire a lot of young generation, right? So it's very important that how they show up and then how they are trying to build their career.
No, that makes sense. I think one of the concept you created, Dream Big, and this makes me think about the importance of looking up to leaders in the company or outside the company. Can you talk about any role or thoughts you might have about women leaders within the company or outside the company? How does that impact other women who are probably younger or entering the workspace or mid-career?
For me, to be honest, I know many people say that women don't support other women, right? But that's not true. That's not true, at least in my case.
Yeah.
Because
is that a misconception or just
It's a misconception, but many people believe that, right? Like, oh, women don't support other women, right? But for me, it's a misconception. The only reason is I get inspired, and a lot of my professional achievement is because I had mentors, women mentors primarily, like who became my friends now. Even the SheWall, which I started, like she used to inspire me a lot, right? She was one of the technology leader in our company, and she inspires. There were like, I had a very small baby, and one of my colleague who said, you take up the women resource group and run. I said, are you kidding? Like, I have an young kid. I'm not going to do this. I'm not up for it. But both my HR leader and both my engineering leader were putting, no, we absolutely believe in you, right? You should do it. I mean, we are all here to help you. You just go ahead and take it up, right? And I kind of keep on pausing and then say, no, I will not take it. But finally, I took it up and I did an amazing job in that, where I had an opportunity to represent myself for that entire women resource group in our CEO all hands, right? That was a big deal. That's something I'm always proud of. So this is the result if you're able to take that risk, but all because there are some women believed in me, right? And there's another quote we also say, right? There is always a special place in the hell if you're a woman, if you're not supporting another woman.
Oh, right? I've never heard that. But
we always say that. So it's very important if you're young or a mid-career, having that support network. A very simple example which I learned, right? Like if you're in a meeting and there is only two women sitting in that meeting or three women, it's very difficult to make your voice heard, right?
Yep.
Making others to listen to you. The most very simple thing you can do is if some women is talking in that meeting, most of the time it's very difficult to hear what they are saying. If you are going to respond, you always add on top of it. Call that person name and add. It looks a very small thing to do, but it makes a huge impact. So it's so very important that within the organization, especially having that strong peer network. Like for me today, I can confidently say that I have that sounding board, right? I just go to since I work with engineering and product leaders a lot, most of them, or at least for me, I had a lot of men and women, I go and I talk to them. So that's why it's very important that you build that peer network, because it's very difficult for you to keep your eyes and ears open for all the opportunity. If you have that peer network, they will talk for you, right? Hey, there is an opportunity. I perfectly see this person may be the best fit. So that's how we have to keep that network. And even if you cannot support, the only ask I will always say is don't put the other person down, right? Like don't assume or don't just talk on behalf of them. If you want, you support them. Otherwise, don't do anything.
Yeah, so I think it is the responsibility of other leaders who are men and women to encourage and support women who are trying to build a career in certain roles or trying to help organization. Definitely appreciate that feedback. So this is one of the questions which have always come to my mind is how do organization, or if I think about myself as a leader in the company, what can I do, or what can organization from from HR point of view, from leadership point of view, they can do to encourage women to participate more or give them abilities to talk more or share more in the organization? What can we do to encourage women either who are entering the workforce or they're mid-career or they're trying to change a role? What can leaders do or organization do structurally to help facilitate that?
From an organization standpoint, I think, especially in the tech industry, which is kind of, for the past 2 years, it's been, I think it's a lot of change, right? A lot of transformation, and biggest struggle for women is being relevant, right? So that plays a very important role, and especially they feel a little less confident when they come into the tech skills, right? And there is always this perception of, oh, you are not good enough or they are not good enough. So the most important thing organization can do, especially for women, is to ensure that there is relevant trainings and workshops or whatever it is, right? Like keeping them up to speed. Like if we all know that AI is playing a bigger role, and what no matter whatever your role is, right, there is going to be some impact. So it's very important for the organization to have the trainings and upskilling training or be open about it, right? It's how the industry is evolving, what are the skills you need in next 3 years, 4 years. So that's the foremost one, if especially in the technology industry, just help them giving that part, right? And the second part is the flexibility, especially when people are coming back from maternity break or they are lost, little bit lost when they come back. So it's very important that as an organization, I know that we try to slow down, we try to do many things, but it's most important thing as a policy, as an organization, giving them some support system internally within the organization, right? So they know that well, somebody has gone through that stage. So it will take a year or whatever it is, right? It takes some time for you to come back at the speed. It's okay. We are here to help you. So how can you show that signal to them that this is a peer network, peer support group you have, and if you can just go ahead and have the, it's a safe place for you to open up and have that conversation, because that's a very important one. And the flexibility plays a huge role, especially when they are in the, when they're coming back from a break, giving that little bit flexibility, like they can decide what is that they can do, what they cannot do. So having, showing those signals helps a lot. And the other thing is, if you're a manager, especially if you're a men manager, or like you're trying, you really want to help, you truly care about them, but you take a step back and you don't know what to do, how to even talk about it, right? It's most important that understand, don't assume. And I think I saw your empathy episode last time, right? Like that having that empathy is most important. If you truly want to be an ally, right? That's how you can show it in action. It's not that, oh, I'm an ally, I support women, right? But you have to truly show. My request, I mean, whoever is listening over, like if you can just ensure to uplift one woman in your career, even one woman, right? That makes a huge difference.
No, I think that's very insightful. Some of the things I'm hearing is that we need to create a workplace where it's safer to talk about what different people might have their requirements. It's important to have mentors within the organization, outside the organization, or at least encourage people to have mentors. And then people within the leadership should take it upon themselves to at least support proactively at least one person, if not more,
if not both,
to help them support and grow within the organization. No, I think that's very insightful. I think one of my last question is before we end this podcast is, what will you recommend to people who are entering the workforce? You mentioned they should try and be more adventurous in what roles they explore. Is there anything else you would recommend people who are entering the workforce now, especially young women?
Especially for the young women now, compared to when I started the career and now, I think we can take a lot of advice from them. So since the exposure, right, the level of exposure, what they have is really high compared to, because I have a teenage daughter, so I kind of realized that the level of information they have, the level of connect they have, it's way higher. But still, one of the most important thing I feel a little bit lacking for this generation is about the grit, right? Like how can you stay put, right? That's the most important thing. So how can you stay put? And if you're an young woman, I think many people, my recommendation is to read Lean In, right? That's very important, because the one thing I like about the Lean In book is, the reason I say do not quit is by reading that one, right? Like, mm-hmm. But most of the time we don't even know what's going to come, like in 6 months, 7 months, we just assume that, oh, all this is going to happen. Let me raise my hand. I'll leave, right? Don't do that, right? You will not quit unless otherwise it's you really have to quit. And the other important thing I read or which I really advise everybody is when you're choosing your life partner, especially for the young women, when they are coming into the workforce, they have a lot of dreams and they have dreamt big. That's why they are entering. And slowly we'll kind of, all the dreams will kind of start shrinking because a lot of external factors comes in, right? And it's not a race. I know like everybody have their own timelines to do certain things. So don't worry about whether I'm getting this promotion in next 5 years, whether I'm going to on-site. I mean, don't worry too much. Learning is very important, right? So for you to keep on having that career, your life partner plays a very important role. So please be mindful in choosing whoever is that life partner is. You need to be very mindful in that and be very upfront about what's your career aspirations. I think that's most important thing for us to do, because you can't ignore that factor, because your life changes. It's fine you are relocating or you have to shift or whatever, but you are really able to hold your career. If that what is matters for you. So most important thing is you should know what matters for you the most and then try working on it. Don't give up just because you want to give up for someone else. You can make sacrifices if absolutely needed. It's okay, right? You want to slow down for a few years or if you want to study. I think because now the young kids have, good to see that they have a lot of passion, right? It's not like early days where it's way tough to do everything. But it's fine. Everyone have their own timelines, which I also truly believe, right? Like I built my career at a different stage. There were times where I felt very upset, where I felt very struck, but I've overcome that, right? Like you slowly overcome it. So it's very important that be that dream big and then be very mindful in the choices you are making in your life. And the third thing is, it's like build your grit a lot. The resilient is very, very important, not just the personal front. Even the organization is going through a lot of transformation now, right? Like, it's evolving. Everybody are figuring it out. So we will also figure it out. So it's important that you are able to hold on by the risk.
That's great advice. I think that's very true for women in workforce, but also true for everybody, right? I absolutely believe grit plays an important role in being successful or not. Well, thank you for your time. Thanks, Eva. It was great talking to you today. And thanks for making the trip today.
Thank you so much, Piyush. I think I learned a lot while talking to you offline. So it's nice that you are taking this effort to connect to your people, which was very amazing, right? Because that connection makes people so appreciated that I'm working for an organization where my CEO is connecting to me, right? In some format. So it's so nice of you. Thank you so much for hosting me.